finish this at the very end, but the focus here is the letters in blue. Light equals life. You know, probably about a year ago, I get up pretty early to work out in the mornings, and a lot of times when I'm coming downstairs, it's pretty dark. And so I never turn on a light when I walk down the steps. Now I do. You know, you don't realize the amount of steps you have to go down until you need to start counting them. And there's been one or two times where I missed the bottom steps and I'm laying on the floor. I've actually never told anyone this, so even my wife's hearing this for the first time. And so the last time it happened, I said, I'm not walking down these steps without a light. And so the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I grab my phone, you know, after I'm you know, got my gym clothes on, go down the stairs, I turn my light on. And I make sure that I know where I'm going. And, you know, as I was thinking about this the other day, it hit me that, you know, the word light is talked about a lot in the scriptures. And Jesus, truly, and God, Jesus, they are our lights in this life. And really, without either one of them, and without their words, we do not have life. And by life, our spiritual life. And really, this physical life isn't one that's enjoyable either. And so just like that, my guy right now is my cell phone light, let's look at how light in spiritual context can provide us with life. Because otherwise, you're going to be limping for a couple of days if you don't make that decision. Let's first turn over to John chapter 8. Turn over with John chapter 8, and we'll look at starting in verse 12. It says, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, and I am not alone in it, but I am the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because the hour had not yet come. Then he said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. And he said, and he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you, that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, he who will die, you will die in your sins. So we see in verse 12 that Jesus references himself as the light. You know, he truly is the light in this world for us. I mean, without him, you go back to the Old Testament and you look at the prophecies that talked about Jesus, and every one of them came true. And it came true to bring Jesus into this world for you and I. You know, Jesus went to the cross and he kept to his word as what his Father had asked him to do. And he was brutally murdered for each and every one of us. That in itself, knowing that a man would do that so that you and I would not have to perish, should be our driving factor in this life. But he also says that, you know, this light, if we follow him, we will have life. You know, he's not talking about a physical life. You know, the things in this life it's not enjoyable, right? I mean, you can be happy in this life. There are things to be happy about. But look at all the people in this life who have come here, who've had everything that you can imagine, and yet they're not happy. It's because that's not where seeking happiness is. It's seeking Jesus. It's seeking His Word. It's seeking the way He lived and His testimony about who He was. You know, when He says He and the Father are one, that's true. He and the Father are one. And just like He's asking the Israelites here and to tell, look, He's talking to the Pharisees, but in context here, you know, the Israelites are the one that's going to put Him to death because they don't believe in Him. They don't want this man to be the one that's supposed to die for our sins. They don't want it to be this guy. They're expecting it to be some great, amazing-looking man, some tall guy, handsome man, but no, it's just a common person. Because it's not who he looks like. It's his words that are showing that it's true, that it's him. And that we, in ourselves, have these words. And we can believe in that. And we can apply it to our lives. And we can live accordingly. And then we look at the end of these verses, in verse 23 and 24, it talks about that those who are not believing in him, and those who are not truly understanding who he is, they're from below. And when you think about something that's from below, that's dark. That's something you can't see. When you think about anything that's in the ground, that's at the bottom, it's darker than the things that are above. Jesus says he's from above. He's light. And you and I should be living our lives with knowing that Jesus is real, Jesus is true, and so is his words. Turn over with me to 1 John 1. We're going to be in John quite a bit over the next few minutes. 1 John chapter 1. And starting in verse 5. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, and we make him a liar, and his words is not true." You know, when we think about God, you know, God says God is light. And in him there is no darkness. So there is an expectation for us in the way that we live. And the way that we live, there should be no darkness. There should be an expectation that we should be walking in the light at all times. Now it does say that if there are times in your life where darkness is the only thing you're seeing, you have an option for forgiveness. And that's what Jesus has done. With his blood, we do have an ability to change our narrative. Just like I'm not going down those steps anymore without a light. You can go through this life for the rest of your life with a light. But you have to be willing to commit. You know, sometimes I think we want to just say, "I'm sorry," but continue the way we are. "I'm sorry" is not, it means nothing without a change and a commitment. You know, if I were to say, you know, today I'm going to attempt faith, and I'm going to walk down these steps without my light on, I might make it okay. I might be perfectly fine. 2 weeks later, though, I might trip. And once that happens, I may do some severe damage where my knee is now torn and I'm going to be out for months. Or who knows, I could fall and break my neck. Something could happen severely to where there's no turning back. And so if you continue to walk in darkness and you don't see the light, there may come a point where there is no turning back. And I can tell you now that when you get wrapped up in it, it is hard to change your mind. And you could get caught up in a way in which the only thing that matters in your life is trying to figure out how to get out, but you can't get out. And then you don't find out the truth, though, until it's too late. And that's when you're facing God and you're realizing, "I should have never been walking in this darkness." And now you have no way to change your narrative. Turn with me to John chapter 12. You you know, it's important to recognize that Jesus, the physical life, you know, he was here. He was here for us, and he was shown, and people saw him. Let's turn, look at verse 35. It says, so Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. Jesus is saying, "I am the light, and while you're here, you really should be listening and focusing and seeing the things that I'm doing. Because once I've gone, the only thing that's left is darkness." And you think about, what is he saying? It's the world. It's the things that's in the world. If you look at the world in a holistic view, it wants to just do evil. It's always wanted to do evil from the beginning. When man gets his own ideas and own ideologies, it's always evil. It's always against what God wants you to do. And so Jesus is trying to tell them, look, I'm here. You can see the physical light. You can actually be able to touch the physical light. You can see these miracles that I'm doing that shows that I am the light. You should focus on that right now, because there's going to come a time where I'm not physically going to be in this world. And that's what ends up happening. He leaves. And now the only thing we have around us is darkness. So if we make decisions in this life in which all we believe in is what we see around us in the world and not what we read, we will get wrapped up in that same darkness. Turn with me to John 9. So go back 3 chapters. You know, here's Jesus trying to show the importance of seeing the light, of seeing these things that he's doing. Look at verse 1. It says, "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" So Jesus here performs a miracle to a man who has never seen light. Now, everyone around this man should now going forward believe in this light that they just seen, this miracle that was just done. You know, I can only imagine how, you know, I say all the time that if I was back here at Jesus' time, I would have believed Jesus, no doubt. But people saw it and they didn't. You know, this is, when we think of, we talked about like these 400 period, this 400 years of silent years that Jesus, that God didn't talk to anyone after, you know, the first true destruction of Israel and how they were in exile. And they went generations upon generations without God speaking, without God showing himself. But what they had was the word. And they didn't listen. And Jesus came and said, "Look, I've done this, I've done this. John was here before me to lead you to me. And yet you're still not believing." Something with the word, people were having a difficult time to believe. And yet, he doesn't even have to just read it. He's showing them the word. He's physically showing examples. And so here I tell myself that there's no doubt I would have believed. But who knows? I mean, there were so many people that questioned Jesus, and it makes no sense. You know, what would you have done if you were there? Would you have believed? Would you have seen that Jesus is the man that was prophesied about? Or would you have fallen into this dark way of thinking, waiting on something physically better, when in fact the most perfect spiritual being was right in front of all of them? Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Verse 33. It says, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar, nor under a basket, but on the lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light, with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined, as when the lamp illumines you with its rays. You know, our eyes, they reveal who we are. Because our eyes, you know, it leads us to the way we think, the way that what we see, what we read, what we understand, who we interact with. Our eye teaches us who we ought to be and what we should be reading and what we should be seeing every day is the Word of God. That is what our eyes should be focused on. And if it's not, then your eye is looking at something else. And that's going to control who you are. And that something else is always going to be dark. Because you can't go to this world and find light. You just can't. The world doesn't want you to find light. It wants you to do the opposite of what God would have you to do. And you know, we have to make sure that what we connect with our eyes is light. And that what we connect and what we see and how we act is always driven towards things of light. And you know, wisdom comes from light. Ecclesiastes 2. If you want to be the wisest person here on this earth, well, we're going to the person who was considered that. And he also went through this life in which he became blind to light. And then towards the end of his life, he gave us a letter that helped us understand the way we should be living this life. Look at Ecclesiastes verse 2, starting in verse, chapter 2, starting in verse 9. Actually, I'm sorry, starting in verse 12. It says, so I turn to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in the darkness. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both. That I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this is too vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool. Inasmuch as in the coming days, all will be forgotten. And how will the wise man and the fool alike die? So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after the wind. Wisdom excels folly, just like light excels darkness. And it's all driven through our eyes. And our eyes dictate our actions. You know, Solomon, when he first became a follower of God, did so much right. But then he allowed darkness in his life for the majority of his life. I mean, I don't know the exact amount of years, but we only see a very small amount of years left of his life where he's writing this, where he's recognizing, I really messed up. Everything I did was pointless. It was all vanity because I wasn't living towards God. He was the wisest man in the world. And yet, if he could allow darkness in his life, that also means you and I could allow darkness in our lives. That is something we need to avoid. But what's great about light, though, is that it guides our ways. The light in the morning guides my way down the steps. Turn over with me to Psalm 119. And in 105. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What do we have as our light today for our eyes? It's the word. It's actually always been the word. You know, we go back to the generations before Jesus and the 400 years of silence. The only thing that would have got them to understand who Jesus was the word of God, was the word that was preached. It's always been the word. It's always been God's word from the beginning. God's word has always been the guide that he's expecting for men to show and to follow for faithfulness. It's always been that way. And if we go to Psalm 27, the light is also our salvation. Verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I am confident. You know, we can go on and on in this, and just for time's sake, I'll stop there, but I want to go to the end of it. Look at verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Going back to verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Let's put that in context today. The Lord is your light and your salvation. What does this life matter without it? It matters. If you don't have Christ and God in your life, and you're not looking at the light in the right way, this life to you is going to be a very costly one at the very end. But if you're walking in this life with the light as your guide and your drive, who cares what happens to you here? This life don't matter. This life is one that's going to end anyway. Let things happen, but find the joy in what's happening. See how it strengthens you, how it draws you closer to God. See what it does to make you a better person and a stronger person in the light. And in Matthew 5, we got two more verses, then the lesson will be yours. We go to Matthew 5. It's important for us to recognize that we should have light and then that we should do something with it. Matthew 5, verse 14. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on the lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we should show our light. We should be living the light. We should understand who the light is. And we should show it. You know, when we show our light in negative situations, it makes people wonder, what is wrong with this person? Like, there's darkness around here, yet you're being positive and you're showing light. Something's wrong with you. And you say, yeah, that's exactly. I'm not from this world. I'm going to live differently than this world, because if I don't, I'll end up with this world. And that is what we don't want. And then finally, in John 1, this will bring us home. And then we'll finish the board. John 1. And then John 2. John 1, starting in verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, it says comprehend him, I comprehend it. However, the NIV uses the word, the darkness did not overcome it. So that tells me that if you have light in your life, you're not going to lose. Darkness is not going to control your life. You have won the battle, and you are able to win the battle here today, and you're able to live a life with all this nonsense going around you without any care in the world, because you know where you're going to end up. And that's what's so important with us in this life, is to recognize darkness will not overcome light. However, don't get yourself trapped in the darkness, because you may never see the light again. And that's where you should be worried. And if we go back here, light gives us life. Now, there are things that I feel that the light is. We know that God is light. We know that light also provides hope. And we know what light, it also teaches us. So it's a teacher. Now, how do we know what to do in this life? Well, the light guides us. And the light is God. It's hope. It's this word that we're believing in. That's what's teaching us. That's how we know what to do. And then all that connects us to what is life. Life is faith, right? You live this life in faith. Everything you do, you know, we haven't seen God, but we should feel God. We should be walking as if we have seen Him. We haven't seen Jesus. We haven't touched Him physically, but we have faith that He's real, that He's true. And ultimately, the life that is given to us because we believe in the light, we follow the light, it's eternal. And that should be driving us. Sorry, I know that. And that should be the reason that we live in the light every day of our lives. Because the life after this one's eternal. And there is no doubt an eternal life in the light is better than an eternal one in the darkness. So if there's anything that we can do to help you see the light, get you back out of the darkness, we encourage you to come forward. If not, we use this opportunity to come together and to come forward so that we can help you. But you know, you can go to your Father in prayer, make a commitment to change. Say, I'm sorry, but commit, make that change, and then do what's right. Together we stand and as we sing.